Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In the beginning, God. First of all, God created the heavens and the earth from no pre-existing material. Think about how almighty He was, how self-sufficient He was. He spoke all materials into being. His sole presence at the beginning is necessary for production. If you take His presence out of this passage, then there is nothing. And I'm not writing anything on my computer, because computers don't exist. This earth doesn't exist. Nothing exists without Him. John B. Phillips adequately remarks about the authenticity of God's claim as Creator when he said, and I quote, "If the Holy Spirit cannot be trusted when He tells of creation, how can He be trusted when He tells of salvation? If what He says about earth in Genesis 1 can be questioned, then what He says about heaven in Revelation 22 can be questioned. If the Holy Spirit cannot be trusted in Genesis 1, how can He be trusted in John 3:16? End quote. My friend, just as the universe itself needs the presence of God, you and I need the presence of God. We need His passion in our lives. We need His redemptive blood to cleanse us. We need His everlasting Word to sustain us. We need that daily dosage of Scripture to nourish our spiritual man. We need every emotion that comes to us, because what would we do without it? Would we be numbed by the circumstance? Would we be deafened by every dilemma? If we couldn't have joy unspeakable and full of glory, if we couldn't have peace that passes all understanding, if we couldn't feel the presence of the Lord, and of course, we don't predicate everything on feeling, because in the kingdom of God, it's faith first and feeling secondarily. But we can feel God. I mean, think about the analogies in Scripture used to describe the Lord. A rushing mighty wind, a river, a fire. These are things that you can feel. These are things that have power in them, and these are things that certainly speak of the incredible presence of the Lord. You and I have got to have the presence of the Lord in everything that we do, because He's in our nighttime. He is in every cause that we have. He is in all of our education, because what is there to learn without the mind of God? What is there to learn without the original Word of God? Because everything is in place because of the Word of God. All the worlds are upheld by the Word of God. So God created the heavens and the earth. It's not overly descriptive, but poignantly accurate. The atheist is infuriated by this text because it assertively announces God's existence. The polytheist is left speechless with countless wasted deities, as the Bible affirmatively reveals a lone deity as the reason for all existence. The one who had no beginning gave everything a beginning, because His sole preeminence leaves all others beggars. My friend, I know we live in a culture in this generation that wants to focus on this religious terminology of coexist, where the third eye of wisdom and Allah and God and the God of Judaism and all the gods of the world worshipped by different people are all paths leading to the same Almighty God. But it's not true, friend. God's preeminence leaves all others beggars. Allah is not God because it is connected to a false calculation, to a false education, and to a false liberation based on Muhammad and based on Jesus Christ being merely a prophet. I come to tell you today, as 1 John declared, he is more than a prophet. He is the God of all creation manifested in the flesh. And when Jesus comes again, he's coming to that great Mount of Olives. He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not just a number in a pantheistic group. He's not just a figure as God to represent all of mankind. He doesn't come to mankind on man's terms. Mankind must come to this King on God's terms. That's why Apostle Peter said in Acts 4, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if you study that verse in its context, it's talking about a name that was uttered by Peter and John at the man who was lame at the gate called Beautiful. That man got up and walked and leaped in the house of God that day because the name of Jesus Christ was pronounced. And there are many that want to mute that powerful name. There are many that want to silence the tongue of the witness that wants to pray in that name. There are many that want to mix and mingle the Messiah into some kind of end time miasma of divinity soup. But I come to tell you that he stands alone. He's not in a grouping of gods. He is the only God. And the Shema is still as real today as it's ever been. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And when it's talking about one, it's talking about singularity of his sovereignty. It's not talking about a grouping of gods that are in harmony or in some kind of governmental symphony or that it's several different individuals in agreement. No, when it's talking about the oneness of the Godhead of the Almighty God, there is no one that sits beside him. He does not share his throne with another, and he never will. He has sole preeminence. There is nobody else on that peak of divinity with him. There is nobody else in that throne room with him, because John the Revelator said that when he looked into the heavens, having been called to come up high in Revelation 4, he said, I saw one that sat upon the throne, and that one sitting on the throne is the Creator, and that one sitting on the throne is the God that can produce a miracle in your life, is a God that can give you inspiration when you feel dead and lonely and unloved. He is a God that can bring redemption into your life, an anointing that breaks the yoke. He can call you out of darkness into marvelous light today if you'll let him. Notice the plurality of heavens and the singularity of earth. Think about it. There are endless stars, galaxies, formations of suns, and immeasurable numbers of planets spinning out there in space. And then there is Earth, one place in such a vast expanse of materials and mysteries. What would be formed in the Earth would be a spiritual reflective of what God would eventually desire to form in the church. The God who formed the Earth as we know it out of darkness also forms the believer, and that we are called out of darkness into marvelous light. A universe born was called out of darkness, and a church born was called out of darkness. There is no waste in the word, no void in the blood of the Lamb, no desolation in grace. Hear me, thirdly today, a single purpose is seen from the beginning. The Bible Knowledge Commentary keys in on the redemptive nature of Genesis 1, and I quote, "The account reveals that God is a redeeming God. It records how he brought the cosmos out of chaos, turned darkness into light, made divisions between them, transformed cursing into blessing, and moved from what was evil and darkness to what was holy," end quote. My friend, God's got a purpose for your pain. God can bring understanding to your dilemma. God can deliver you from regrets and past rebellion today. God can silence every predator that hides in the shadows of your darkness and your past that wants to devour your mind and your body and your soul. God's got the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He's got beauty for ashes for you today. He can make you a tree of righteousness planted in the garden of his testimony. Because no matter what you've been through, no matter how many times you have failed God, there is salvation for you through the name of Jesus. There is hope for you. There is an opportunity for you to walk through the door of deliverance, to leave behind a world and a wilderness of sorrow and constant entanglement, temptations that you cannot break from, things of the world that you cannot seem to escape. God will call you out of darkness, just like he moved upon the void and the waste, that which had been stricken by chaos at the very beginning of time, needed only the word of God to speak, needed only a light of hope to shine, and God wants to shine that light of hope in your life today. You see, it goes on to say, and the Spirit of God moved. Yes, fourthly, a shifting power is certain from the beginning. You see, desolation is what you get when God punishes a place. Edom realized this confusion and emptiness when God's vengeance was enacted on their land. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness, Isaiah 34:11. This same desolation is experienced when God parts from a place. Idolatrous Judah regretfully understood this timeless universal justice as they faced Babylonian captivity. The weeping prophet Jeremiah pulled from history to condemn Judah. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Jeremiah 4:23. Sometimes the Spirit of God moves, and it means something has to be eliminated. The clutter is removed so the promises and powers of God can be at work. The threshold of revival cannot be blocked with sin, blame, and destructive iniquity or lawlessness. Something has developed that is not good. Then at other times, the Spirit of God moves and something has to be illuminated. Something is developing that is of God. It must come to light. It needs only revelation. You see, revelation is not creative. It merely unveils what's already creative. What light is about to shine on a hidden purpose in your life? You think you've been stumbling along in your situation without any meaning. You think you've been staggering down the road of impossibility with no purpose whatsoever. You think that your life over the last few months or years has just been one big question mark or blanks that have no answers to fill them in. But my friend, today you've got more than an answer. You've got the God from the beginning. You've got hope in that God, which is an anchor. If you've got God and the hope of God as an anchor, who needs an answer? He'll fill in the blank in his time. There may be mysteries that you're walking through right now, but when God brings an illumination on it, when God begins to reveal the purpose of it, it'll make sense. You've just got to have faith. You've got to walk in the trust of the Lord, knowing that God is ordering your steps right now. Someone once said, I had an enormous feeling that there had to be a power greater than any of us, that there was a God, that there was indeed a beginning. Who made this statement? Frank Borman, a legendary NASA astronaut who was one of only 24 humans to ever circle the moon. Beyond all his mathematical equations, geometric calculations, pinpoint formulas for space travel, he returned to the simplicity of the Word of God to describe his otherworldly adventure. You see, because a simple pattern reminds us who gave us the beginning. No matter what educational path you walk, no matter the physical circumstances that cripple you and create the doubting questions, no matter the pleasures of life experienced at the expense of faith, no matter the culture you're raised in or adapted to. The true conscience of who is above all things pre-exists in the depth of our souls. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 42:1. Think about it. No matter what you're facing today, friend, there is a gnawing in your spirit. There's an aching in your soul. There's a hunger for holiness, a thirst for truth, a longing for liberty that comes from the revelation light of the Word of God. You need but turn that light on today, and it will dispel the darkness. It will divide you from the darkness. It will call you out of the darkness. That's deliverance from your past. That's having an avenue to walk on that is well lit by the Word of God, because Psalm 119 says, the Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, which means He knows my immediate steps and He knows my eventual circumstances. Nothing catches the Word of God unawares. If I live according to that Word of God, I can have discernment. I've got instructions to follow that'll lead me out and show me the escape routes and keep me from the pitfalls of pride and keep me from the snares of earthly seduction. Keep me from the sensual things of this world that would get me so caught up in the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life so as to lose the love of the Father. Oh, my friend, think about it. In the beginning, God. Before your trial ever come along, God was already ahead of it. Before tribulation could ever show up, before any situation could try to intimidate you or any adversary could try to make you feel less than what you are, God was already ahead of it. Because in the beginning, God, see, before He created anything, before any universe was brought together, before any materials began to form, before the grass began to grow on the hills, and before the animals began to roam the moonscapish land of the earth, before all of that, it was God. Now think about it. Before the universe and all of its content, Almighty God existed, and He was there before your situation. He can put His supernatural touch into your life today so that no matter what you're facing, you can overcome it, you can get through it, you can pray through it, you can believe that He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I mean, think about this. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. Now, before the enemy showed up with threats, before the sickness showed up in your body without any seeming remedy, before that employer told you that there was no longer any work and you're going to have to find a job somewhere else, and now you're in a financial dilemma and your bank account funds are running low, before any of that, friend, ever showed up in your life, the Word of God existed. God is pre-existent to your problem. His Word is pre-existent to your circumstance. And if it's pre-existent, there means there's a preeminence to it. There's a power in it. If God can see where you are today, He can speak something that will encourage you. He can give you a word of assurance. That's a word that has an anchor in it. That's a word that has security in it, because think about the stability of that Word of God. Think about that Word of God being underneath your feet, immovable and unshakable. Think about how repetitive that Word of God is. I mean, over and over and over, one season passed after another, one year, one decade, one millennium. 1,000 years as a day, and a day as 1,000 years to the Lord. This timeless ability of the Word of God, and that Word is in your life, shining light on your circumstance, giving you the ability to see it, to overcome it, to walk through it day by day. It might seem confusing from time to time, but God's not the author of confusion, but He is the author and the finisher of your faith. So lay aside the fear that puts confidence in what your enemy's doing. Come back to having faith in God that puts confidence in His Word, because that Word, again, is preexistent to every problem and dilemma that you're facing right now. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 3:20. God is not crippled. God has not faded off into some far-off galaxy where we'll never hear from Him again. I believe the song. He's just as close as the mention of His name. And the scripture said, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be deliverance. Are you standing in the shadows of shame today? Are you full of fear? Are you overcome with failures from the past? Do you carry one burden of guilt after another? Is there a long list of things in your life that you're trying to scratch off, you're trying to get better at or overcome or replace with a better character in your life or a better outlook and perspective in your life? And then all of a sudden you feel overwhelmed and you look at the mountain you're trying to climb and it looks like Mount Everest. And you take a few steps, but it looks like someone has stretched the peak even higher above you. And every step that you take, it seems like there's going to be added 10 to 20 to 30 more steps you're going to have to take. And it's this endless cycle of sorrow. But let me tell you what God can do, because in the beginning, God created. What did He create first? He created the heaven. The heaven. How do you see heaven? How do we behold the stars? How do we enjoy a sunrise or the sun at high noon? You got to look up. You can't be looking down. You can't bury your vision in the dirt. You've got to look up. Lift up thine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh thine help. We look up because our redemption is drawing nigh. Our blessed hope is in the day star. Jesus Christ is that day star. And so think about it. The heavenly comes before the earthly. The spiritual supersedes the carnal. So no matter what you're facing in the temporary or in the temporal of circumstances and the earthy and worldliness and people that are all wrapped up in the secular, the spiritual Word of God, the spiritual presence of God in your life far exceeds it and will go beyond it and will far outlast anything, because the grass of the field is going to wither and the flowers are going to fade, Isaiah said, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. So my friend, hold on just a little bit longer. Pray one more prayer. Go back to church this Sunday and get ready for a revival moment in the presence of the Lord. Let the Spirit of God step into your situation. Let the Spirit of God begin to move upon the face of your deep. Let Him get in to the depth of your struggle. Let Him get in to those hidden recesses of the soul and dark corners of your mind where you may feel like you've got thoughts that you have to struggle with every day and temptations that you have to try to overcome every day, and you start to feel more fragile and more frail and weaker with every attempt to push back the forces of darkness. But remember, there's a light that shines. And remember, there's a preexistent Word of God. That Word that will give you a lamp. That Word that will be a burning torch. That Word that will give you discernment and show you the escape route and give you the wisdom that you need to make the right decisions. Suddenly give you the ability to solve a problem that maybe you didn't think you even had the courage to do it. But now you've also got the remedy, the solution. You're going to walk forth in a resolute manner. You're going to be strengthened by the power of the Holy Ghost, because you're going to realize that before the conflict ever came and before the chaos ever was ignited in your life, the Creator was at work. In the beginning, God, He was before all of it. Nothing exists that doesn't activate and work within Him. And today God can activate a promise that will come flooding to your prayer. Seek the Lord today and know that God in the beginning is the God that is in your soul and that God that is working in your life right now. In Jesus' name.
This is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.